Support comes from The Ohio State University. Join Ohio State May 3rd for a day of giving, working towards one incredible goal of creating pathways to debt-free education through scholarships. Part of the Scarlet and Gray Advantage Program. More at dayofgiving.osu.edu.
This podcast was recorded Thursday, April 14th at 10:31 a.m. Things may have changed by the time you hear this.
Yeah, like the majority of voters will be interested in a nuanced, thoughtful discussion about taxes.
Come on, they don't want that. They just want the red meat of negative ads. Tax the rich.
Let's talk politics. This is Snolly Goster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and all those shrewd politicians or snollygosters who buy negative ads and then complain about the lack of civility in Columbus and Washington. I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson. Coming up on the podcast, our Snolly Goster of the week has angered a lot of Ohioans. But the good news for him is those Ohioans can't vote.
Very shrewd. First, we are 4 days away from tax day. It's April 18th this year. Remember, 19 days also away from the first primary of Ohio's doubleheader 2022 primary. Remember when we said that was strange and not going to happen?
I know, it's going to happen.
How dumb are we?
August, I guess. Yeah. Well, less than 3 weeks from now, voters will decide primary races for statewide offices and members of Congress. And all eyes are really on two races.
First, the Democratic race for governor, former Dayton Mayor Nan Whaley and former Cincinnati Mayor John Cranley running hard. But they are, quite frankly, too dang nice for us. Both are running ads, but they are positive. No quotes from their opponent out of context. No grainy black and white pictures of each other. They do slam Mike DeWine, and Sherrod Brown appears in a Nan Whaley ad saying that he supports her.
Yeah, we haven't seen any recent polling in that race, so let's assume it's tight. The real fun is in the Republican race for U.S. Senate. The latest poll released by J.D. Vance's campaign, with that big disclaimer, that latest poll shows that Vance basically tied with Josh Mandel and Mike Gibbons. That would indicate that Vance has surged into the top group. Gibbons and Mandel have been there all along, but no one has taken control yet. And in the past week, we learned that Mike Gibbons had a Mitt Romney moment.
He sure did. Remember this bit of a secret recording in the 2012 campaign for president.
There are 47% of the people who will vote for the president no matter what. All right, there are 47% who are with him, who are dependent upon government, who believe that...
Well, businessman turned politician Mike Gibbons feels the same way, evidently. His comments did not come at a private fundraiser, though. They came on a podcast published by Crane's Cleveland Business. Here it is.
The top 20% of earners in the United States pay 82% of federal income tax. We only have, and if you do the math, and 45 to 50% don't pay any income tax, you can see the middle class is not really paying any kind of a fair share, depending on how you wanted to define it. Now, the problem is you need the middle class to win an election. So the narrative is the middle class is getting screwed. And the wealthy, the elite are cheating everybody and getting by unfairly. How much of the total tax bill can a very small percentage of the nation pay and still be a democracy?
Before we get to the politics of that statement, let's check the facts.
Yeah, well, you know, Gibbons is right. If you look at the dollars raised through the federal income tax, the rich are paying more than the middle class or low-income Americans are paying. That's because, wait for it, the rich make more money.
The top 20% are not making 82% of the nation's income, but they are making half of it. 50% of all income in the U.S. was earned by households with an income over $100,000, and that's the top 20%.
So let's look at the middle and low income earners. If you total up the bottom half of all U.S. earners and you total what they pay in federal income taxes, they pay about 3% of the nation's total. And a little less than half of Americans don't pay any federal income tax at all.
So while Mike Gibbons' statement lacks complete context, he is right. The rich pay more dollars in federal income taxes than the poor. And on paper and as a whole, they pay a higher percentage of their income in taxes.
Yeah, but it's
still politically stupid.
Well, here are the two quotes. The middle class does not pay any kind of fair share. That will be, if he's the nominee, if he wins the primary, Tim Ryan, assuming he gets the nomination on the Democratic side, will be beating that to death.
And fair share is a very emotionally loaded statement. I mean, a lot of us who might qualify as the so-called middle class feel like we're really being taxed appropriately. I mean, you can't measure the word fair. I guess if you want to be very litigious about it, maybe you can. But when you hear the middle class is not paying their fair share, you're like, whoa, hold on, what?
Yeah.
It's not an endearing thing to say to people whose votes you are after.
You know, every debate that I moderate, I tend to ask the candidates, how do you define middle class? What's the income level? Because the range is wide. Mm-hmm. And I mean, a lot of people who are making $200,000 a year, family making $200,000 a year, considers themselves in the middle class. According to this is the top 20%. And so what is middle class is the first thing. And I agree with you. Most middle class working people working 40, 50 hours a week, trying to pay their mortgage or their rent, trying to save for their kids' college, trying to pay their health insurance, do not think they're not paying their fair share in taxes.
No, they feel like they're being taxed, obviously not into poverty, but it's hard to live these days on a I mean, I know a lot of people get by with not much money, and so I don't want to stick my foot in my mouth here and pull a Mike Gibbons here, but it's hard to live on what a lot of people think is a middle-class income.
But conservatives, this is what they see. They see the ones who do pay, you know, 25 to 30% of their income, in this is just federal income tax now. They see they're paying all this money to the federal government, and they see that half of Americans don't make enough, but they're not paying any federal income tax, and they say, why am I subsidizing those programs for those folks?
Well, they're subsidizing those programs because, in Mike Gibbons' case, he makes millions of dollars.
Yeah.
He's going to be just fine with only half of that money.
But he's saying, and there's some merit to that argument, that there has to be a fairer way. And so, but he lacks context, because we all just don't pay federal income tax. We pay Social Security tax. We pay Medicare tax. We pay state income tax. We pay in many areas of the state and country, we pay city income tax. Sales tax, obviously, we pay on everything we buy, except for
liquor tax, some more than others.
Yes, beer tax, gas tax. I mean, and, you know, someone who's making $1 million, you know, 20 cents a gallon in the gas tax is not as big a deal as somebody who's making, you know, $40,000. You know?
No, it's intentional. It's why we have, in many places, progressive tax systems.
And Mike Gibbons says he is not opposed to a progressive tax system. He just thinks that the equation should be a little different. And it's a very eloquent argument that he makes. Democrats will disagree with it. And it's not, as he said, you need the middle class to win an election. And he also said the middle class is a problem, which also will be taken out of context. But it just goes to show that the sort of bumper sticker tax slogans really do not serve this debate, where Democrats who say we need to tax the rich to pay all of our bills, you cannot pay all of our bills by only taxing the rich. You have to increase taxes on the middle class if you want to have a universal basic income, if you want to have government health care. You're going to have to raise the middle class tax rate. Likewise, Republicans can't say we're paying all the taxes and nobody else is.
It's also, I don't think, a coincidence that this came on a business podcast. This was a wonky conversation. This is not
this
suited.
Was September.
This is not
Why
suited.
Is it taking so long to come out?
Because it seemed innocuous.
Yeah.
I mean, because it seems reasonable and it seems down the middle, honestly, when he's saying he's not against progressive taxes. But again, this did not come out in a fiery debate with him and Josh Mandel, like acting like they're going to fight. This came out in a business podcast. It makes sense that that was the format for this conversation.
Do you know who's criticizing this comment?
Tim Ryan? I don't
know. No, not exactly. Not Josh Mandel, not J.D. Vance, not the other kid, Jane Timken. They're not criticized. Matt Dolan criticized it in a kind of a roundabout way. He's saying the middle class
that's
is
the most
paying,
Matt Dolan thing I've ever heard.
Is paying enough in taxes. We should cut taxes for everybody. So he's trying to play both sides. It's no, don't raise the taxes in the middle class, but still cut the taxes for everybody. So he criticized it, but not really criticized it. So
he's the Portman wannabe.
Yeah, but at least, you know, the good thing is, for the first time in months, we're actually talking about a real issue in this campaign.
Right, not two.
Not Donald Trump's endorsement.
Not two weenies on stage trying to fight each other.
Yeah, it's actually a real issue, which is, you know, it's odd.
It is odd. Anyway, we'll be right back.
WOSU Public Media podcasts are made possible thanks to listener support. All of our digital content, such as Snolly Goster and the All Sides of the Ann Fisher podcast, depend on the generosity of listeners like you. You can give at WOSU.org or through the WOSU mobile app. And thanks.
Welcome back to Snolly Goster from WOSU Public Media. We just talked about Donald Trump a little bit. We never doubted it, but this week we got a reminder of just how powerful President Trump still is in Ohio Republican politics.
He is always popping up in all of the Senate ads, but next week we will see him in person. The former president is scheduled to headline a rally next Saturday night at the Delaware County Fairgrounds, just north of Columbus. He is there to rally support for Republicans ahead of the May 3rd primary. He'll be there with his former aide and congressional candidate Max Miller. And he might just endorse candidates in that U.S. Senate race and maybe the governor's race.
I'm all for it. Let's make some news.
I don't think he will.
I don't think so either.
No, I don't think he's going to. I joked he's going to have all of the Senate candidates get up there on stage and have like an applause meter. And that's how he'll endorse. And if he asked all the Senate candidates to do that, they would do
the
it.
The most apprentice thing you've seen.
Oh, this will be an apprentice-like rally.
Oh, God, I hope someone gets fired on stage. That'd be amazing.
Well, I don't. A couple of questions. You know, as you look at this rally, do all the Senate candidates show up? Does Matt Dolan show up?
No.
He won't be on stage, probably. He's not opposed to Trump, but he's not fully embracing him. Does Mike DeWine show up? He is the leader of the Republican Party in the state of Ohio. And the former president of the United States, who has an approval rating of 80% among Ohio Republicans, will the governor be there? I'm guessing no.
I don't think so either.
No. I think he'd probably get booed by that crowd. He would get booed. And he doesn't want that.
What a world.
Yeah. Does the president endorse Joe Blystone or Jim Renacci for governor? The polls show that they have a really tough hill to climb to win, so Trump would be endorsing someone who is a long shot.
Yeah, Trump is a firebrand, but he's also pretty pragmatic. He doesn't want to endorse a loser.
He's going to say, well, wait and see. I'll endorse somebody. Wait and see. That's what he's going to do.
You going to go?
No.
I don't think I'm going to go either. We'll cover it here at WOSU, but I don't think.
Well, how we got to Delaware is kind of funny because Portage County, he asked to go down there, and they said no.
Right. They had the toy car sale or the hog show or whatever they're doing there.
But it wasn't just the total slap in the face.
It wasn't.
Right?
No, they don't do political things there. That their fair board said they are a charitable organization and they don't do political rallies.
Good for them.
Yeah. I bet they got some heat from locals.
Oh, I'm sure they did.
I mean, that'd be a good boost for local gas station. I don't know who's gonna. I don't know where the Portage County economy is fueled, but
yeah, one local Republican noted that the Delaware County Fairgrounds is not the biggest venue.
It's not. It's right off 23. I've been there several times. One of my best friends used to live right next to it, so I'm very familiar with it. It's kind of a cluster.
Yeah,
everybody gets funneled onto this side street. And it's going to be a traffic jam there on Saturday.
But the crowd will look big, even if it is not big, because apparently he only got 2,000 people at a rally in North Carolina recently.
Could be a Snolly Goster move. Not quite worthy of our Snolly Goster of the Week award, though. We are giving that to someone else this week. It's time for that award, which that award goes to the shrewdest politician or political move of the week. This week it goes to someone who went out of his way to make a lot of Ohioans mad, but the good news for him, those Ohioans cannot yet vote.
That's because they're too young. This week, Democratic candidate for governor John Cranley called for all Ohio schools to offer summer school for every Ohio school kid. Cranley says it would be voluntary for parents. We don't see many kids volunteering.
So no,
it would be voluntary for the families who want to make their kids go to summer school.
Cranley says kids need the extra weeks in the classroom because they've lost so much during the pandemic, and this would help them catch up. It would be expensive, Cranley estimates, but he says the state could use some of the $7 billion that it received in federal pandemic assistance for education.
So for calling on many of his constituents to go back to school this summer, knowing full well those constituents cannot vote, John Cranley gets our Snolly Goster of the Week award.
Made a lot of kids mad, but he also shrewdly courted the parent vote.
Yeah, think about that. Wants to pay for summer camp or summer daycare.
As a As a youth baseball coach, I can tell you parents love dropping their kids off and not coming back for an hour.
Freedom! Freedom!
Free babysitting all summer long. It's a good. John Cranley, good for you. That will do it for this week's edition of Snollygoster. If you have a suggestion for next week's Snollygoster of the Week, please email us at snollygoster@wosu.org. Also, be sure to leave us a good review on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you get your podcasts. And just tell your friends about us. Until next week, for our digital producer, Michael DeBonis, I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media.